Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back on The Fan. Pat Boyle with you till 10 o'clock, and we are now officially 1 week away from Super Bowl 59, Chiefs and the Eagles, a rematch from 2 years ago. We will talk about that, but obviously we've got plenty of football news going on here in our own city with the Giants and the Jets. So he's on his way to New Orleans right now to cover the big game, but he covers the NFL for the New York Post, used to cover the Giants, well-versed in New York football, and that is Ryan Dunleavy. Ryan, what's going on, brother? I hope you're going to be touching down in the Big Easy pretty soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Pat. Looking forward to this rematch from 2 years ago. It's the best Super Bowl I've seen of the ones, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this one ends.
Really quickly, and we'll get into the Super Bowl, what is the thing that you're most looking forward to with the city of New Orleans itself? Food, the atmosphere, Bourbon Street, what are you looking forward to?
A hurricane. and the drink, not the weather. A hurricane at Pat O'Brien.
Okay, hurricane at Pat O'Brien's. All right, beautiful. Yeah, so before we get to the big game, let's start off with the Jets here because they're continuing to make news here each day as new head coach Aaron Glenn is filling out his staff. It looks like just earlier today, Charles London, who was with the Seahawks, is going to be their quarterbacks coach. Tanner Engstrand is the offensive coordinator. He was the passing game coordinator at the Lions. He follows Aaron Glenn. And the defensive coordinator is Steve Wilks. So in terms of what the Jets have done now, the disaster of 2024, trying to put it behind them in the rear view mirror. We'll talk about the elephant in the room in just a moment. But in terms of the hiring of Aaron Glenn, the hiring of Darren Mougie as the GM, and now as you see this coaching staff come together, how would you grade the Jets' hiring cycle, turning over a completely new staff and what they've done, starting with Aaron Glenn?
I'd say it's probably a B, and I would give Glenn an A. Like, I think they got the right guy. Like, everybody but the Cowboys had an interview request in for Aaron Glenn, and the Cowboys obviously did their own unusual process. So everybody wanted to talk to Aaron Glenn. Other than Mike Vrabel, I would say he was probably the most in-demand candidate. They got one of their own, so he should understand all the things that Woody Johnson represents in terms of meddling, all the things the media represents in terms of the pressure, all the things the fans are worried about in terms of same old Jets. Like, he knows exactly what he's getting into. He owned the press conference. Like, he wasn't taking no BS from anybody. I thought he was a great hire. Mougie, I don't know. First-time GM. You never really know with those guys. They've never had to call the shots. They've never had to answer for anything. Like, you couldn't have a better profile than Joe Shane had when the Giants hired him a couple years ago, and his work as a GM is suspect, to say the least. So you just don't know with those guys. Plus, it's a bit of an arranged marriage. I never liked those. They hired the coach before the GM, so they're on even power struggle playing fields, reporting to Woody Johnson. That would worry me. And then Engstrom, I love that they hired the somebody from the Lions, because that's the best, most creative offense there is. But I do wonder, a part of me wonders why the Lions didn't promote Engstrom when Ben Johnson left, or why Ben Johnson didn't take Engstrom with him to the Bears. Like, why was he available to the Jets when Johnson didn't want him for the Bears and the Lions went outside to hire over him? That would be my little bit of curiosity there. And defensive coordinator, they needed a head coach on staff, so Glenn can fall back on Steve Wilks. I like that hire.
Ryan Dunleavy with me, Pat Boyle, right here on The Fan. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ry Dunleavy, talking about the Jets and the hiring of Aaron Glenn. Yeah, look, I'm not sold on it, Ryan. And you know, it's one thing, it's too easy to just say same old Jets, but like you said, it's an arranged marriage. And I'll say it more bluntly here, it's ass backwards how they went about this hiring here. You hired the head coach before the GM, you paired them together, and on top of that, it's the eighth time in the last 9 head coach hirings, I believe, for the Jets, where they've hired a defensive-minded head coach who's never been a head coach before. And the one other time they didn't do that was hiring Adam Gase, who might go down as one of the worst coaches in the history of football. But I would have wanted somebody offensive-minded. But if you have confidence in this, and it sounds like you do, and look, it's great that he did great at the press conference, and yeah, you know, guys want to run through a brick wall for him, just like Dan Campbell, and you know, we see Liam Cohen bomb in his press conference with the Duval with the Jaguars. So yes, he inspires confidence, but if you have confidence that he's going to be a great head coach, and maybe at the end of the day, none of us really know, but tell me why you have confidence that this time's going to be different from Robert Sala, from Todd Bowles, from all the other coaches that have come through and come back out this organization and this building.
I can't say I do. I'm not going to lie to Jessica. I can't say I do have confidence. Like, if you told me in 4 years they're looking for another coach, I think that's very possible. But to play devil's advocate, like you say, you wanted an offense coach. I don't know that there was a great offense coach on this market. Like, the Cowboys ended up with Schottenheimer, who the Jets discarded like 14 years ago. The Jaguars ended up with Liam Cohen, who, like we said, his press conference was, and he had 1 year as the Jaguars head, as the Buccaneers offensive coordinator. That was Dave Canales. Before that, he was the Panthers head coach this year. It's not like that success translated over from the Bucs to the Panthers. So, like, I just don't know that there was that, other than Ben Johnson, who wanted no part of the Jets job. I don't know that there was that great offensive coordinator mind this year. Like, the McVay and Shanahan trees have been plucked pretty clean, and that's where everybody wants to go. Well, they might need some time to develop some new assistants that everybody wants to hire head coaches. Those trees have been plucked pretty clean. So I don't know that the Jets missed out on anybody. I think Glenn's best thing is he is clearly going to parlay his experience as, I've been there, done that. I've played this game at a high level. You should listen to me because I've been in your shoes. He's clearly going to do that. He clearly has a defined sense of who he is. He's not going to be pushed around in this market. He knows what he's going to do. He's not going to change it for anybody. Sometimes that rigidness works against you, but I think we're coming off somebody with Robert Sala and the Jets they lost their identity, him and Joe Douglas. So I think the Jets need a little bit of a strong backbone. He has it. Will that work? I don't know. It's really going to come down, like everything does, Ben. This is cliche, but like, who's the quarterback? Because like, if he gets old Aaron Rodgers, then it's not going to work. If he gets good Aaron Rodgers, then it's going to work. If he gets Tyrod Taylor, because they don't have somebody after Aaron Rodgers, it's not going to work. If they end up drafting, you know, Jackson Dart, and he's terrific, it's going to work. That's really how it's going to be.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is the elephant in the room. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, heard the press conference on Monday, and Aaron Glenn basically tried to shut it down and, you know, say, I'm not going to repeat myself again, or let me be clear. When it comes to Aaron Rodgers, he said he texted with him, but he was very, very noncommittal. They didn't want to get into that. We're still in evaluation mode. From what you've heard and what you think will happen in terms of the decision. Both, Aaron Rodgers obviously would have to decide he wants to come back and play, and then the Jets would have to decide whether or not they want him. In terms of Rodgers, in terms of the quarterback for 2025, I don't think it's the best option. I would rather go sign Justin Fields. I would rather draft a quarterback and throw a rookie in there before I went back to Aaron Rodgers. But it does feel like Aaron Rodgers is the safest option for a rookie head coach, rookie GM, brand new staff. Do you think that's ultimately what it comes down to? Rodgers is the safe option? So you think Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji will say, hey, Aaron, we'd like you to be the quarterback?
I think Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji will say to Aaron Rodgers, we'd like you to be the quarterback under these terms. You have to learn our new offense. We pick the players. You don't pick the players. You're just the quarterback of the Jets. And in that regard, I almost think the decision is Aaron Rodgers and not Aaron Glenn. Like, is he going to give up the power that he has, quite frankly, earned in the NFL? When you have the career he has, Drew Brees had a lot of say. Tom Brady had an enormous amount of say. Like, when you get to that level, you've earned that stuff. They might say to him, hey, we don't want you doing Pat McAfee shows airing our dirty laundry every week. They're going to, I think, lay out some ground rules to him and say, hey, if you're interested in being the quarterback of the Jets, we'd love to have you back. And if you're interested in everything else, then we should part ways. And I almost think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers' decision at that point. And to answer your other question, Pat, I do think, like, look, if the Jets want to be a win-now team, and Darren Mooji said, like, we can win right now. That was, that was big for a new GM coming into New York. Like, most guys are like, oh, I got to evaluate the roster. He's like, no, we have a good roster. That's one of the reasons I wanted this job. If you want to win right now, Aaron Rodgers is your best option. Like, he did not play like Aaron Rodgers, 4-time MVP, but you have to look at everything through a Jets lens. He was the best Jets quarterback they've had in 25 years. Like, I mean, God, maybe Vinny Testaverde. Like, this was the best they've had since then. So, yeah, if you're looking for old MVP Aaron Rodgers, you're not going to get that. If you're looking for the best possible quarterback play for the Jets, it's probably Aaron Rodgers, if you're willing to deal with all the circus elements.
Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post covers the NFL. So obviously is very well versed in Jets and the Giants. Used to cover solely the Giants. So Ryan, I want to go there next here. Ryan Dunleavy with me, Pat Boyle here on The Fan. Big Blue, the decision is going to be the last week of April, the NFL draft, and who they take and who they're able to take at number 3 overall. The Titans are at 1. We've heard their GM say we're not going to pass up on a generational talent, and then everybody flocked to place a bet that Travis Hunter is going to be the number 1 draft pick. But they need a quarterback. Will, as much as I thought Will Levis was going to be like Sam Howell from the year before, like throw a bunch of picks, but also throw for like 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, he can't throw the football. Can't throw the football down the field. They need a quarterback. They've got a second-year head coach that has to win. I believe they're going to draft a quarterback. And the Browns, with Deshaun Watson, who basically re-tore his Achilles and no idea if he's going to play next year. Yeah, the Haslams gave him every, the last dollar in the world, all guaranteed. But they also need a quarterback. So what do you think, and I'm asking you to play a little bit fortune teller here, a little bit crystal ball, the Ryan Dunleavy crystal ball. But what do you think ultimately happens with the Giants at number 3? And what do you think they should do, whether or not Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders is available to them at 3 or not?
Look, this is what I spend. I spend so much time on this. I ask people to play fortune teller for me all the time. So I'll tell you what my fortune tellers are telling me. There is a very strong belief that Kirk Cousins is going to sign with the Browns whenever he gets released or traded or whatever, that he's going to end up on the Browns. Him and Kevin Stefanski will reunite. They were with the Vikings in both their heydays. And he can do the Russell Wilson thing where he sticks the Falcons with the whole bill and signs a minimum contract with the Browns where he's very little added to the salary cap. So I think that's probably what the people I talk to around the NFL believe. Now, does that mean the Browns are going to stick at 2 and pick Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter? Or might they shop to say the Giants or the Raiders and say, hey, if you want the other quarterback that the Titans don't pick, come up and get him. And we're going to take some other picks. So what I think ends up happening is Yeah, I'm not buying completely the idea that the Titans aren't going to pick a quarterback. They don't have to. That's the beauty of what they did with their GM changes. When you change GMs, and that's why when John Mara decided to stick with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, I said to John Mara right there, I said, is this a two-year commitment? Because if not, you're going to let these guys pick a quarterback, and then if you're bad next year, you're going to make a change, and then we're going to be in the Daniel Jones cycle all over again, where they inherit a quarterback that the new staff inherits a quarterback that they might not have liked. So the Titans gave themselves leeway. If they pick a quarterback, it's because the new GM likes one, not because he was forced to by his hot seat. I think in the end, they probably will end up picking one. The Browns probably will not, and the Giants will trade up to whatever the highest spot is that they can. If it's one, because that pick is available, they'll trade up to one. If it's two to block the Raiders, they'll trade up to two. I think they'll move up. They'll pick whichever quarterback is available, and I think probably they prefer Shedeur Sanders.
All right, and let's say Ryan Dunleavy, that the Browns either allow somebody else to jump the Giants and take their pick at two, like the Raiders with now new head coach Pete Carroll, like any other team that needs a quarterback in that top 10, or let's just say Titans and Browns go Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, or Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, and now here the Giants are at three with their hands in their pants. What happens? What do you think happens at that point if Travis Hunter then is on the board at three? Is it as simple as the Giants have to take him, or is this a spot where now the Giants, do you think, maybe trade back and then take a quarterback later in the first round or even in the second round?
That is a nightmare scenario you just pitched, because remember, at that point, we'll have gone through free agency, so we'll know exactly how desperate they are. I don't think they'll be in the Sam Darnold market. If they're in the Sam Darnold market, that changes everything. If they come away with like Justin Fields or Mac Jones or somebody like that, then we know they're targeting a new starter in the high in the draft. In your scenario that you just gave me, what I think they would do is stick and pick either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, and don't get caught up in, they already have Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns. Joe Shane, the reason Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney aren't here is because Joe Shane is a firm believer in positional value. Edge rusher is a huge positional value position. He would love to build this team for John Mara the way that they used to, with waves of OC and Tuck and Strahan and JPP coming at you. So they would have no problem if they think Abdul Carter's a great player with having a third top edge rusher. Or it's Travis Hunter, the generational, can play both ways, stick him in as cornerback one for the Giants as a rookie, and you know, give him 15 snaps a game on offense to help Malik Nabers. And then I think what they would end up doing is not necessarily picking a second-round quarterback, maybe doing the Lamar Jackson Ravens thing where you trade up from whatever they are, I think 34, trade up from 34 into the 20s, give up whatever that costs, you know, some mid-round picks or a future second or whatever, and then take the third quarterback off the board, who right now some teams think is Jackson Dart, some teams think is Jalen Milroe, whoever their third quarterback would be, somewhere in the 20s where they get a fifth-year option on him.
That's a great answer. And yeah, I did give you some nightmare scenarios, so I thought that was great. Ryan Dunleavy, NFL reporter from the New York Post, and obviously then covers Giants and the Jets within that umbrella. He's on his way to New Orleans right now. He will be at the Super Bowl. Just before we get there, Ryan, really quickly, we'll know whether or not Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer come Thursday. Do you think Eli belongs in the Hall of Fame? And if he doesn't get in on Thursday, is it only a matter of it's next year?
That's a great question, Pat. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think it's a matter of next year. I think Eli Manning is the rare case where it's first ballot or a long wait, because what people have to realize is only five modern guys get in per year. And unless they're going to put in a class with two, three, four quarterbacks, after he's up first, then it's Roethlisberger, then it's Breeze, then it's Brady, then it's Philip Rivers. All these guys, all these contemporaries who either have better stats or equal Super Bowls are going to start coming up. He gets to go first. So I think his best chance for the next 7 years is the first chance before he starts getting to. You can't put him in over Breeze, so he's going to get knocked out. You can't put him in over Brady, so he's going to get knocked back. Him and Roethlisberger, they're going to go, oh, well, Ben had the better record. He had better stats. So, like, I think once he starts getting compared head-to-head, it's going to be trouble. So I think he either gets in first ballot or he's in for like a 6-7 year wait.
Ryan Dunleavy with me, Pat Boyle right here on The Fan. All right, so you're about to be in New Orleans in a little bit, in a couple of hours here. Chiefs, Eagles. My girlfriend is an Eagles fan, and unfortunately, I'm not just saying this, and she's probably listening, but I've told her that I desperately want the Chiefs to win. But I do think, unfortunately, I do think the Eagles win the Super Bowl with Saquon Barkley. They complete the storyline of Saquon haunting Giants fans' nightmares and lives, and he wins the Super Bowl in Philadelphia. I think they end the dynasty, or that they take away the three-peat from Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. How do you think this game ultimately plays out here? Do you think Philly and Saquon lift the Lombardi, or do you think it's destiny? Mahomes and Andy Reid and Kelsey are winning this thing again.
Yeah, destiny. Look, I think the Eagles have a much better roster than the Chiefs, although I do think the Chiefs roster this year is better than last year, so they won last year. I just think the Eagles are loaded. But I think we're looking at the same game that always happens, right?
Gearing up for the big game, we are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And it was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the fourth quarter, it's 6 minutes left. How you betting against the Chiefs? Like, I won't do it. Like, you want to say the refs helped them? I don't buy that, but they certainly seem to get a lot of big calls in big spots. Going back to the Bradbury Super Bowl pass interference 2 years ago, I'll just take the best quarterback. And I'm going to believe Patrick Mahomes. How many times I got to see him run for a first down on 3rd and 8 when we spend our lives talking about Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts as runners, and I see every January, I see Patrick Mahomes is the one running for the big plays. Or I got to see Travis Kelce somehow wide open in the middle of the field. I'm going to say the Eagles have the better roster, and the Chiefs are the team that three-peats, wins by three on a field goal somewhere late in the game. Like we used to see the Brady Vinatieri playbook 20 years ago. I just think that's what's going to happen. Somehow they're going to end up winning the game.
Yeah, I think this Eagles defense is a lot better than it was 2 years ago, and I know that their coaching staff is different and things change big time from when these two met 2 years ago, but I think the only thing that the Chiefs have, that you can say they, you know, check the box, who has the advantage, it's quarterback and it's head coach. And even then, like, I used to think Sirianni was a doofus. I thought he was going to get fired when they were 2-2. I was like, this guy's getting fired this year. And yet here he is in the Super Bowl for the second time in the last 3 years. So I think, you know, like, we've got to give Nick Sirianni credit. That being said, it's Andy Reid. Like, he's in the conversation with Shula and Belichick for the greatest head coach of all time. They have the better coach and the better quarterback. I think the Eagles have a substantially better team in just about every other department. I think secondary is the same, but I think the Eagles can win this game because they have the better offensive line and because they've got the better defensive line. And I know Chris Jones is just like Kelce when it's the biggest game and it's the Super Bowl, he'll perform. But man, Jalen Carter has been an absolute nightmare. So I think this is classic football. I think the Eagles win this in the trenches, but I hope you enjoy the game either way, my friend, and enjoy your week in New Orleans, and appreciate the time, Ryan Dunleavy.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for having me on.